In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says that we are to grow up in every way in Christ. We're to grow up every way in Christ. This morning I want to talk about growing up. In light of our children, younger people of this congregation, instead of looking at a Bible for kids lesson, I thought I would just look more broadly at some information related to growing up and the challenges of growing up and some things that young people need to remember as they grow and mature into adults. But in light of what the Bible says about us growing up in every way in Christ, regardless of our age, we would be wise to make the proper application of these points where they may be needed. Growing up is a challenge, isn't it? There's a lot of uncertainty. Sometimes there's awkwardness. Young people don't know how to fit in. They struggle to fit in, but they're trying to find their way. And in the process, sometimes they make mistakes. They try to assert themselves in ways perhaps they shouldn't, and parents are always trying to redirect and correct and all of that sort of struggle. But being young is also a very hopeful time of life where you can begin to make decisions that will lay a foundation to help shape the course and direction of your life in adulthood. But I want to say some things to the younger people today and to try to encourage them, especially as they begin a new school year. To begin with, I would urge you to remember that you're loved. You need to remember that you're loved. And that's critical. Especially in light of this time of life where often you're unsure of yourself, trying to fit in, and feeling perhaps misunderstood. Teenagers especially feel misunderstood. Their parents don't understand them. Adults don't understand them. And you can sort of develop a complex like that. No one understands you, and that creates a lot of challenge. And those of us who are parents, those of us who are older, we were younger once, we were teenagers once, and we can understand the struggle to feel that. That we're not understood, but you are loved. There's a lot of challenges that young people have, especially now in light of loneliness and isolation and depression. There's a lot of challenges that have come about after the pandemic that we're all too well acquainted with, but you know, the Bible makes the point that you're loved. You have a Creator who made you in His image. You have a Savior who died for you. You have parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles who love you, who are trying to guide you. You have people at this congregation who want the very best for you. There's just a wealth of resource and blessing that you have to help guide you into adulthood. In Psalm 139, in verses 13 and 14, David said, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." That's a beautiful text, an acknowledgement of the Creator and the intimate way in which each of us were made. God knows us by name. He knows just exactly who we are. We are a product of His making. Do we know that very well? Do we know that deep down in our souls? Again, I said that this is that those of us who are older can make application where it's needed. Sometimes those of us who are older, we feel misunderstood, we feel alone. Does your soul know it very well that the Creator formed you and knows you through and through, inside and out. Now we're never alone, are we? Not having been made by such a good, loving God who's given us everything. Who's given us everything. Who's given us His Son to save us, to transform us. We are loved beyond our comprehension. The problem is we forget that. We lose sight of it. We can become consumed in our own struggles, our own challenges, and forget. No, we were made by a God who loves us, who made us with a purpose. You have a purpose. You have a purpose in life. You don't have to be aimless. You don't have to be lost. You have someone who can guide you through the challenges of life. You need to know that you're loved. Secondly, I would tell you to think. Young people, you need to think. You need to use the mind that the Creator gave you to engage with the world around you. Now, there are a number of passages that make this point that you've got to think. No one else can think for you. There are a lot of people who would rather have someone else do their thinking for them, but that's just not possible. You have to think for yourself. Ultimately, you are responsible for yourself. You are responsible for the decisions that you make, even as a young person. And yes, those decisions that you make in youth will have a way of following you throughout the course of your life. The prophet Haggai, the theme of his writing is this: consider your ways. Consider your ways. Where are you going? You're going somewhere. Where are you going? Do you have a goal? Do you have a direction? Maybe if as a young person you're saying, well, I'm really not sure. Well, then you need to think about that. You need to consider your ways. Consider what you want out of life. Consider what God wants for you in your life. Do you have a goal? Do you know where you're going? How are you going to get there? How are you going to get there? What steps do you need to take? What kinds of decisions do you need to be making in order to achieve your goal, to fulfill the purpose for which you've been made? You've been made to bring glory to God. Plain and simple. You've been made to bring glory to God. Even in your young life, that's what you're supposed to be doing. That's what you're supposed to be about. Are you doing that? Think about it. Think about it. Consider your ways. In addition to considering your ways, you also need to learn how to interact and engage with the world around you. You got to think. Your parents all of the time are trying to tell you the direction to go, the things that you need to avoid. There are pitfalls in life, and you don't have to go into them. You can avoid them if you think. And when you see the pitfall, you redirect your course. Parents all of the time are trying to teach their children the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. Why? Why do they care so much about that? Well, because you have to make decisions every day between the difference between right and wrong, a good decision, a bad one, a wise decision and a foolish decision. As our children go off to school, we're not there to think for them. We're not there to make the decisions for them. And that's just all part of growing up. And in making those decisions, you ultimately become responsible for them and the consequences that follow the decisions that you make. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 11 to 14, this passage was not written to young people. This passage is just written to Christians. Come to find out, all of us struggle to make proper, right discernment between good and evil. We can become lazy in our thinking. We can stop thinking and just follow the crowd, go with the flow. You know, these Christians had begun to drift. They'd begun to drift. To drift away from Christ. How do you drift? You think of a boat in water just drifting along. It just goes wherever the wind and the water carries it. And eventually, a boat that's just drifting is going to wreck. It's going to crash into something. It's going to sink. Need someone to correct its course. In chapter 5, beginning in verse 11, he says, "About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing." Have you become dull of hearing? Again, parents, we're always trying to get our children to listen to us. What does it mean that they become dull of hearing? They'd stopped thinking. They'd stopped listening to the truth. They'd stopped listening to the Gospels. They'd stopped thinking about, well, what does the Gospel mean in my life? What implication is it supposed to be having in my life every day? They'd become dull of hearing. He says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God." You need milk, not solid food. "For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he's a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." They'd become childish in their thinking. Childish in their thinking. How do children think? Well, they're very short-sighted, aren't they? They don't think things through. They don't think about the consequences of what they're doing. They just act. They just act. They can become very selfish as well, doing just what they want to do, regardless of how it may affect others around them. Well, adults can behave in the same way, can't they? Adults can be very childish in their thinking. It certainly is the absolute opposite of what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. We're supposed to be growing up in every way in Christ. How do you do that? You got to think. He brings to mind the idea of exercise and discipline. Exercise and discipline. Well, you know, if you're going to exercise, you have to be disciplined in doing it, right? Someone who's disciplined is consistent in their actions. Someone who's disciplined will do something even when they don't want to do it, because they know it's the right thing to do, even if it hurts. They're disciplined. They endure the challenge of it. But that's how Christians are supposed to be. As they're constantly engaging the world around them, trying to find out where the pitfalls are, trying to find out where sin is. Sin is not always obvious. For the most part, the way sin presents itself, it is rarely obvious. The devil is the master of deception. He's always trying to trick us, to deceive us, to get us to believe that something that is harmful is actually good for us. That something that is wrong is right. That something that will ruin our lives will help our lives, will make us feel good, will help us fit in. And when we believe his lies, in the end, it ruins us. You realize that. That's what sin does. Sin will never deliver what it promises. So you have to think. Otherwise, you'll be overcome by deception and you'll be ruined. No, you have to constantly practice, constantly think. Every day that you go to school, you've got to be thinking in order for you to fulfill your purpose, to avoid sin. Thirdly, you need to use your influence for good. You need to use your, you have influence. Sometimes we diminish it, we don't think we've got it, but we all have influence. Even those who are young have influence for good. The ones who are young people who are present here today, you all have got a tremendous advantage in life because you have been raised to know God, to know what He's done for you through Jesus. You've been taught His Word. You're learning the difference between good and evil. And so that shapes the influence that you have, that you might be a light to the people who are around you. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul tells Timothy, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." One of the reasons why young people sometimes struggle to fit in or feel misunderstood is they feel as though that somebody's always out to get them. Mom and dad are always trying to get in the way of them having a good time. When they listen to the how older generations talk, the older generation is always getting after the younger generation, and there's a lot of misunderstandings between the two. Some of that is understandable. Some of it is unfair. Paul recognized that Timothy could be unfairly criticized for the simple reason he was young. And he knew the kind of discouragement that could bring to him in his work. So he tells Timothy, don't let anyone discourage you just because you're young. Instead, he says, set the believers an example. Give them an example to follow. Do you know you have that kind of power as a young person? Show the people you go to school with what a believer looks like, what a believer sounds like. Be a good example of Christ and how you talk. It's amazing how in our speech is one of the ways that we can distinguish ourselves very quickly. Don't use bad language. Why do young people often use bad language? So that they sound mature? So they present themselves as strong and tough? That's silly. It's wrong. Now you can be an example of a believer, set a godly influence by using speech that is good and wholesome, that is well thought out. How about your conduct? Your behavior. Your parents all the time are telling you to behave, behave, behave. You can act differently than those who lack self-control, who are very undisciplined in their behavior, who are always being angry, who are always being disrespectful. And you can be an example in love, in faith, and in purity. All of these ideas work together. All of these are traits of a Christian that is growing up in every way in Christ. And the sooner you learn to do that in your life, well, the better your character is going to become, the better your life is going to become. Think about the kind of people you would attract to your life if you were an example of a believer. You'd attract the right kind of people. The kind of people perhaps who want to be like, not like you, but like Christ. Now, those are the kinds of people you need to have as friends. Those are the kinds of people you need to be thinking about dating, marrying one day, the kind of person who's going to help you get to heaven. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why you need to be an example of believers, so you attract the right kind of people. Now, if you disregard all of this, just the opposite happens, right? You attract the wrong kind of people. You bring the wrong kind of influence in your life. and you go down a road that takes you further and further away from Christ. You bring all kinds of problems and hardships. You'll complicate your life. And that can be avoided. That can be minimized by taking to heart a passage like 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. And finally, this morning I would tell our young people that for every problem there's a solution. For every problem there's a solution. You know, young people get into trouble. And some of the trouble that they get into is understandable. I will admit that as a parent. There's some trouble that's just goes with growing up. And as a parent, you have to work with that. And so there's trouble, and then there's big trouble. There's big trouble. You know, it's been said that with bigger kids comes bigger problems. Now, teenagers can get into some big trouble. Whether it's through drugs and alcohol, you can ruin your life. Ruin your life. End your life. There are some problems. There are some problems that can do just that. When you have a problem, often what happens is, well, maybe you just try to fix it yourself. Maybe you try to hide it. You run away from the people that can help you fix it. Yeah, you can get into some big trouble as a young person. Feel as if your parents will disown you, that they won't love you anymore. That's just not true. That's not true. Now, there are consequences for the problems we create, and yes, you'll have to deal with those. But for whatever the problem is, there is a solution in bearing the consequence of that. You have a God who made you in His image. You have a Savior who loved you. You can find forgiveness and renewal. You can move forward in your life. Now, moving forward may look differently now than what it once did, but you can move forward. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verses 12 to 14, Paul just simply writes about his own life. Now, he had some problems, didn't he? I thank Him who's given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul was a sinner. Paul had brought tremendous harm to the lives of Christians. And yet, God chose him. The resurrected Lord chose him. He received mercy. You can receive mercy and a new life. Now, Paul never ran away from his past. He knew what he did, grappled with it every day. How did he move forward in light of what he had done in the past? Through faith in the grace of Christ. And he used his life to serve, learning from the sins and mistakes of his past, trying to be a light, trying to bring glory to God. For every problem, there is a solution. There is a way forward. So let's all commit to growing up in every way in Christ. Our young people have a world of potential. Your futures are bright. Your best days are ahead of you. Thank you.